Turn in your Bible this morning to Revelation chapter 6. It's the weekend that we commonly celebrate the 4th. I'm not going to be speaking on that as such. But the 4th talks about us being free as a nation of people. We all understand that. And this message for today I want to share with y'all is also, you see, some people that's free at last. But I'm going to be talking about the martyrs of the tribulation, the martyrs of the tribulation time. Revelation 6, look down at verse 9. Now, the scene here is in heaven. This is a vision the Apostle John was given by the Lord of things that's going to happen in the last days. That is, after the church has been removed from the world. So keep this in mind when you read here in Revelation. The church is in heaven at this time. This is just a vision of what's going to happen. It hadn't happened yet, but this is going to happen. So please don't forget that. Keep that in your perspective. So in Revelation 6, and looking down at verse 9, and when he had opened the fifth seal, when Jesus opened up the fifth seal of this seven seal book, or scroll, judgments are going to come on the earth. God is judging the earth because of her sin, because she's rejected Jesus. So keep it in mind, we, the believers, already with Jesus at this time when this will be taking place. And the Bible says, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren, that they should be killed as they should be fulfilled. May God bless his word. Loving God, thank you for the word of God. Thank you, Lord, that you give us a view of the end time. What's going to be taking place in the world after the church has been raptured out. And these people that we read about here in chapter 6 that are left behind could have been raptured out too if they'd have believed on Jesus and amidst the tribulation. But they failed to do so, and now they're facing this awful time when judgment from God is coming upon the Christ-rejecting world. Lord, challenge our hearts. May our hearts be filled with praise today because of the grace of God that has given us salvation. And you've not appointed us to wrath, but to receive salvation as a gift of God because of faith in our Savior. Bless each one, Lord. Encourage, challenge our hearts to keep getting out the gospel, to keep sharing the gospel, doing our part, and making known the good word of God. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. As I said, this is what John sees in a vision, what's going to happen after the church of Jesus Christ is raptured out. These souls seem to be those who were preaching the word of God who have been martyred. They're preaching during the tribulation time, trying to warn people of their need for Jesus Christ. And that's what we are to do today, warn people of their need for Jesus Christ. Coming over to church this morning, we saw some guy up the road there. Sunday meant nothing to him. He was out weed eating this morning. Isn't that sad? They said, he's empty. He's empty. So he's occupying himself weed eating on the Lord's day. When tribulation begins and people begin to believe in Jesus as their Savior, many of them are going to be martyred for their faith during the tribulation time. I'm told that even today, that more people are being martyred than ever before in the world. Christian people. People that believe in Jesus Christ in these third world countries. People dying for the faith. And it's going to be that way during the tribulation time. Many will be killed because they believe in Jesus Christ. The Apostle John is going to tell us of those who lost their life because of the Antichrist's hatred of the Savior. Remember, the Antichrist will be a man coming on the scene right after the rapture with a peace plan. He'll be a smooth-talking dude, but he's under control of Satan. But what people are seeing in him is a very charismatic figure that can talk smooth, that can satisfy everybody. And everybody's going to look at him and they say, well, you're the person we've always wanted. And he's going to appear as a false Messiah to the people. And many, many, many people are going to be deceived by his smooth talk. Let me tell you something right now. We got a lot of smooth-talking people around today in politics and in the ministry, by the way. They're smooth-talkers. These souls honor the altar in heaven, refuse to announce Jesus as their Savior. They stood up for Jesus even to their death. It cost them their life. Because they knew if they didn't believe in Jesus, there was one other alternative. You know what that would be? Hell. Because the Bible says if you take the Antichrist's mark and his number is 666, you're automatically doomed to hell forever. And today, the same truth is still true. If you don't accept Jesus as your Savior, it'll be hell. There's no other alternative. So I want you to listen today what we just read is telling us, because it's so important. These people, after the rapture of the church, see and understand what's going on. And the best thing for them to do is to believe in Jesus, even though it'll cost them their life. And that's what these do, that we see their soul is under the altar in heaven. Their soul. And I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. You don't want to miss it. They knew the seriousness of denying Jesus meant going to hell. And they were now willing to die for the faith. People today do not realize how serious the horror of the tribulation time is going to be. Now, because we all have televisions, and we can see the news that's been going on up north in these cities, when the politicians, the mayors, the governors won't take a stand for law and order, we see what's happening to their cities. Police departments are taken over, burned up, police cars burned up, destruction, people shot, people injured. Well, let me tell you, that's just a preview of what's going to happen right after the rapture of the church. It's going to be wholesale worldwide that way. It's going to be the most terrifying time there's ever been. Jesus himself said that. And even Jeremiah the prophet long ago said it would be. We saw in the first seal judgment that over half of the world's population is going to be killed. Over half of the world's population will be killed. And there's 23 more judgments to come. God is getting rid of every sinner off the earth. That's what God is doing. God has been waiting 6,000 years for men to repent of their sin, and they're not repenting. And God now is bringing this program to an end. The church age is coming to an end. And now he's going to deal with Israel these last 7 years. Because Israel had 490 years of judgment made against them because they wouldn't obey God and serve God. So God pronounced 490 years of judgment. And 483 of them have been served by this time. And now the last 7 years of their judgment is during the 7-year tribulation. There's been a timeout for the church age. But now God's going to resume those last 7 years. And they're the worst ever. And it's mainly against Israel, the last 3.5 of those years, when 2/3 of all Jews will be killed. 2/3. And multitudes of Gentile peoples. No sinner is, listen to this very carefully. No sinner, no lost sinner, is going to be able to survive the 7 years. Let that sink in. Not one sinner will survive the 7 years. God's going to kill every unbeliever before it's over with. None of all these souls under the altar in heaven. Now, all of these are saved souls that we see here under the altar. They're in this unusual place. They're under the altar. They're martyrs. They died for Jesus. They're believers in Jesus. But they are, listen to this carefully. Don't get them confused. They're not part of the church. These died during the tribulation. The church has already completed its ministry, and it's in heaven with the Lord. So these souls under the altar died during the tribulation, not part of the church age. And let me clarify something else. Only during the church age are people Christians. There was no Christians in the Old Testament. There's no Christians in the tribulation. There's no Christians during the thousand-year reign of Christ. They're all saints or children of God. We only, in the church age, are Christians. So keep that in your mind. So these under the altar, these souls are believers in Jesus, and they're now with Jesus. And we're with Jesus, but these are not participating in the events of heaven, it appears, because they're under the altar. And they're crying for vengeance on those that kill them. We will have our new bodies at this time. We'll have gone to the judgment, a seat of Christ at this time. We the church people. And we will be evaluated at this time that this is going on. To see how faithfully did we serve the Lord while we were here during the church age. Was I a spirit-filled Christian, or was I just saved and satisfied? We're going to be rewarded to how faithfully we serve the Lord. And our position in heaven will determine that. What we're assigned to rule over will have to do with how faithful we serve the Lord. And so we need to be aware, church. It's important we be Spirit-filled Christians. That we learn to live the way God wants us to live. Not the way I want to live. Jesus, the great teacher, said, I didn't come to do my will. I came to do my Father's will. After we've been saved, it's not supposed to be what I want. It's supposed to be what the Lord wants. After we have left the beam of judgment, we will then, as the church, become the bride of Christ. After that, we'll go to the wedding supper. Yum, 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 yum. Amen. In the meantime, on earth, all hell will be breaking loose. While we're beginning to have a good time and life is really going on for us, on the earth, hell is breaking loose everywhere. Because devil's making his last stand. They're going to be the judgments of the devil, judgments of man, and the wrath of God. All at the same time. There'll be wars, famine, plagues, wildfires, bloody water, wild animals, demons, plus the Antichrist demanding all people to worship him. If you don't, you lose your life. Because he wants to be God. All of these souls under the altar could have been saved before the tribulation, but they failed to get saved. Now look what they've had to face. They've had to face it because they didn't get saved before the rapture. Like many people today, they think they can get by and everything's going to be all right. It don't work that way with God. If we're not in God's will, everything's not going to be all right. The Bible is clear. Today is the day of salvation. Anyone can be saved who will repent of their sin and trust Jesus. I don't believe like some of these preachers today that say God just elected so and so and so and so. Listen, yes, God did elect people. After they believed on his son, he elected them. And determined, predetermined, predestinated, we'll be in heaven because we accepted his son. That's how God chooses people. What you do with Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 5:9, for God's not appointed us to wrath as the church, as his people. We've not been appointed to wrath. But to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Isn't that good news? God don't want to judge us. He don't want his wrath on us. He's going to take us out before the tribulation time. Oh, I know we got preachers that don't know no better than that. But that's their problem. It's never wise to put salvation off when it's offered. In Matthew 10:28. Fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. There is a God. And we see a lot of people today that don't fear God. They better get to fearing God. Because he's something else. The Bible says God's a consuming fire. Let us notice what these souls were doing under the altar. So I want you to pay attention now. What's these souls under the altar? They're saved. They're saved. But what are they doing? The Bible says, and they cried with a loud voice. Listen, they've gone to heaven, they're still crying. Oh, I thought we weren't going to cry when we got to heaven. Oh, these are crying. You know, we might cry at the judgment because we didn't live no better than we did. Amen? That's kind of weak. They're crying in heaven. Think of these poor souls all crying to God because they had been killed. You know, life to them on earth was precious. People want to live. You know why you want to live? Because God put it in you. God made you to live. He wants you to live. God's got a plan for your life that's good. He wants you to live out that plan that He has for your life that's good. He wants to use you. People want to live because God made us that way, but these had been denied life on earth because of evil men. Evil men didn't want them to serve God. Isn't that something? God made this world for His people, and evil people killing God's people. The Bible says, and they cried with a loud voice, saying, O Lord, how long, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? These souls under the altar are crying to God. How much longer we got to lay under the altar and not be avenged to those that killed us? Even under the altar, people wants justice. People wants justice. Even though these souls were out of suffering, they were no longer suffering. They were no longer in danger. They still wanted the Lord to deal with those who'd taken their life. They were crying for vengeance on those who had shed their blood on earth. And God will and does take vengeance at the appointed time. God takes vengeance at His time. And we're told not to take vengeance. We've seen some of that in our Sunday school lesson today. Revelation 18, 20 through 21 is when God is going to take vengeance on these people in the tribulation time. And let me read that verse with you, or those two verses, Revelation 18, 20 and 21. This is when God's going to take vengeance on them. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God has avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone like a great millstone and cast it into the sea, saying, thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down and shall be found no more at all. God is going to get rid of all the enemies of God and His people one day. Babylon is that system that's against God. Let me show you several important truths about these souls now that's under heaven. You want to see this. This is what you want to really see now. So focus with me. We see when one dies, when you die, they're still alive. These souls under the altar were still alive. My time. They're still alive. They had not gone out of existence. They hadn't ceased to be, as some teach or believe. There's no such thing as soul sleep or non-existence. These souls are still conscious. They have emotions. Secondly, we see they are still, listen to me, they are still the same person they were on earth. They didn't have any wings either, Trina. When you get to heaven, you're going to be the same you. You're not going to be what you're not, folks. Just like Jesus was, he was the same Jesus after the resurrection he was before. He just had a different body. A body that was, its makeup was different. It was an eternal body. We're going to have an eternal body. Boy, that's going to be something. I can pick peas in, Brother Chaffetz. Amen. Listen, let me tell you something else. Them souls under the altar, get this, don't miss this. They weren't angels either. You don't turn into being angels. You're going to always be human. You're always going to be you. Thirdly, let me show you something else about these souls. We see they have bodies. And they're not just spirit or souls. They have bodies. That's interesting, isn't it? Fourthly, we see they are conscious. They're conscious under the altar. And they're aware of what's going on. They know right from wrong. They want justice. They knew they had been killed when they shouldn't have been killed. They were serving the Lord, and their lives were taken. That ain't right, brothers, sisters. So they knew right from wrong. And fifthly, we see they are concerned about the evilness and the wickedness of man. They see what evil is doing, what it's doing. What is sad, however, are the thousands who had died who were not in heaven. Think of all the, over half the world's population is going to die during the tribulation time. And most of them are not going to heaven, brothers, sisters. They're going to that other place. And they're going to be souls in that place. And they're going to be conscious in that place. They're going to be aware of where they're at in that place. And it's going to be uncomfortable, according to Jesus, in Luke 16. For the unsaved person, listen to me, there's no one to cry. Because it's too late to cry. It gets too late to cry. In hell they may be crying because they were foolish for not repenting of their sin. In hell they may be crying because of loved ones and friends they know that are lost and were ignoring salvation and they're disturbed about it. Remember the rich man in Luke 16 was concerned about his brothers after he got in hell. Too late then. People just think this life is to do what I want, have fun, do this, do that. Hey, folks, God put us here. He's picking out people to live with him and people that'll be separated from him. This is not good time, Charlie. This is getting to decide where you're going to spend eternity. In hell, they may be crying because of their own suffering there. And listen, they hadn't been thrown into the lake of fire yet. Because that day's coming for them. In hell, how pitiful those poor lost souls. And now they're lost forever. They're lost forever. There's no more hope for them. No more opportunities. When you die without Christ, that's it. And you can't get people to understand that. Just save your life in this world today. Notice what these saved souls are wearing. Let's look at the saved souls. See what they have on. What they're wearing. And white robes were given unto every one of them. See the God gives them a robe to put on, a white robe. These souls on the altar were given white robes to cover their naked bodies. It's always been the design of God to cover up the human body. Even angels are clothed, church. You look at some of these pictures on TV at the crowd. They got straps up their crack, if I might use that term. When Adam and Eve were without sin and they were covered, their body, with the Shekinah glory of God. But after they sinned, they were stripped naked. And God killed some lambs and made coats of skin to cover up their naked body. We're supposed to cover up our body in public. These were given white robes to cover up their naked bodies. Remember, they will not get a new body until the end of the 7-year tribulation. These under the altar, they won't get their new body till the end of the tribulation, when they'll be resurrected. We've already got ours at this time. These white robes reveal the purity and the holiness of their state. They're holy. They're pure. They belong to a holy God. Today, when a believer dies, we exit our fleshly body, and our soul and spirit is with the Lord. I'm taking my time for a reason. When you die, when your body goes to sleep, automatically your spirit and soul is going to exit. It's going to release your soul and spirit when the body ceases to function. Boy, I tell you what, God really intertwined the body and the soul and the spirit, didn't he? But the moment your body ceases to function, you exit it. And then you go to where you chose to go. Have you chose Christ? That's where you'll go. If you haven't made that decision, you'll go that way. There's only two places to go. These white robes, as I said, reveal their purity and their holiness. It seems that believers now get some kind of cover for their body, and it may be like these souls with white robes, because I want you to turn in your Bible to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, to a scripture that the Apostle Paul addresses. And I think it sounds very like what we've already read about these souls. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning at verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house, that is our body, of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, an house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan," Paul said, "earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so being, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked." So we have a temporary, if we were to die today before the rapture, we would have a temporary covering for our soul and spirit, like these souls under the altar, it seems like. Because we wouldn't be naked, but we would be in the presence of our Lord. The Lord's thought of everything, amen? He's thought of everything. And you see in this passage we just read how anxious Paul was to go and be with the Lord and to have this house that's not made with hands in the heavens to cover up his body. Even today, Paul doesn't have his new body. He still would have to have this robe, like these souls we're talking about that's going to happen in the future. In verse 11 of Revelation, chapter 6, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season. Here they are under the altar crying, these souls, crying for justice. And now they're told, well, just rest a little while. Even in heaven, listen to me carefully. Even in heaven, these souls are told to wait. Does that sound familiar, Kim, in the army? Get out them bucks. Get in formation. And you wait. And you wait. And you wait. And that's throughout the day. These are told to wait too. Wait a little longer. There's a popular song a few years ago, wait a little longer, please Jesus. They would have to wait until the end of the tribulation. That's when they would be their body would be resurrected, and they get their new body. How anxious these souls must have been. And like I say, let me update you. This hasn't happened. It's going to happen in the tribulation at the end of the church age. But we're already being told of what is going to happen. This is a prophecy of what's going to happen. And prophecies in the Bible always come true. Always. And sometimes there are thousands of years before they come true. Maybe they wanted to take part in some activities in heaven. Maybe they wanted to see some loved ones or friends and fellowship with them as they were told to wait. So these souls under the altar told to wait for a little season, and all their concerns would be addressed. Why were they told to wait? Listen to why they got to wait. There's a reason. Verse 11 in Revelation 6 tells you the reason. Until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were. They've got to wait till other believers, other of their brethren and loved ones are killed too. So they're up there under the altar, crying, waiting, and while they're waiting, other Christians are going to be killed too, to join them. What we see in all of this is God's program. God's program is not something out of control. God's program is in control at all times. He's working out his ordained plan that he made before the world was ever made, church. Even lying under the altar, these martyred souls were told there was going to be more of their brethren killed, and they needed to wait for this to take place before they could be taken from out from under the altar. In life, God often permits us to wait. You go to the doctor's office, you have to wait. And since this virus has been around, it's added some more wait time in places. In Isaiah 40 and verse 31, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I love this verse. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint. Psalms 37 and 9, for evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. And let me just insert this thought. One of these days, this earth here is going to be melted down and renovated, as I understand it. It's going to be made like a brand new one. It's going to remove all the oceans and the seas. It won't be that anymore. Different program. As I understand it, the New Jerusalem will be our home. We'll come down and live on the earth, and there'll be nations in the earth again. We'll be on the earth serving the Lord. Ain't that amazing, folks? God's great plan. You know what? There's so much more that's not in the Bible that God's going to have for us. Amen? Psalms 27:14. Wait on the Lord. Learn to wait on the Lord. We live in a generation today. We want it now. We want it now. I deserve it. A lot of young people, you young people, listen. Mom and daddy's worked many years to have what little bit they got. You can't have it like them. Start with, you got to work. Wait on the Lord, and He'll bless you. That's what's wrong with our nation today. We got a generation of people that want it now, and they didn't even work for it. They don't work. They go to the mailbox. And it's give to them. Boy, Judgment Day is going to be a frightening experience for them. Wait on the Lord. You know who that was for? Everybody. That's for everybody. That includes us old folks. I'm waiting right now. Come on, Lord Jesus. Some got to wait 5 years to pay off a vehicle. Some got to wait 40 years to pay off a house. Wait. The best thing to do is wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Don't try to get ahead of the Lord. The old human nature we got wants to get ahead. We want it now. One last thought, and I'll close. Lord, I hate to close. But I want you to turn to chapter 7 of Revelation. I want you to look down at verse 9. In the book of Revelation, this is going to happen in the future. We've been reading about those that were martyred. But here's a glimpse at the people that's going to be saved. I want to share it with you. A lot of these will be killed too now. But I want to read beginning at verse 9. After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations, kindreds, people, tongues, that stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God, which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. A multitude, the Bible says, which no man could even number. Now you think about the calculators people's got. When this is a future event, and they can't even number the people that's going to be saved during the tribulation time. But many, many, many of them is going to be killed. Some of them won't be, because a third of the Jews is going to enter the 1,000-year reign of Christ. And some Gentile peoples, they'll also enter into the 1,000-year reign of Christ. But at the end of this 7-year tribulation, our Savior's coming back, and we're coming back with Him. All of us riding white stallions, coming back, and Jesus is going to speak. And when He speaks, that's going to save Israel from being annihilated, and it's going to keep everybody in the world from being killed, because man would kill himself off if he's left to himself. But God ain't going to allow it. He's not going to allow it. What I wanted to emphasize to y'all today is this. These souls under the altar crying to God, clothed with white robes, that they're people just like you. They're still the same people they were on the earth. They just were out of their old fragile body, and they were going to get a new body in just a short period of time. We're living in difficult days. Keep your eye on the Lord. Keep serving the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord. The Lord won't fail you. And the last word was wait on the Lord. Don't get ahead, because you want to stay in the will of the Lord at all times. May God speak to heart. Loving God, thank you for this time. Thank you for letting us share this message about these souls that are people. They're the same people that was on the earth. They're just waiting now for a new body. And Lord, we too have been told one day the trumpet's going to sound, the dead in Christ are going to rise with a brand new eternal body, but it'll be the same people living in them. And we that are alive will be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, and we'll have an eternal body to live in, but it'll still be us, and we'll be with the Lord, our Redeemer, our Savior. Bless each one here, encourage each one, challenge each one, use each one. Help each one to say, Lord, use me. Use me, Lord, to help others know the Savior. I pray in Jesus' name, amen and amen. May the Lord speak to hearts today. We give you the opportunity to come to the altar. Come pray for somebody. Come accept Christ if you need to do that.